Here comes the biggest asshole actor the whole world's ever seen.
Welcome to the Clary Podcast, a division of Aaron Clary, LLC. Brought to you by AssholeConsulting.com. Aaron Clary, Chairman and CEO. And now, your host, Captain Capitalism himself, the world's only professional asshole, Aaron Clary.
Answer me this, guys. I went for a walk. I know you guys give me crap. You guys give me crap because I play Pokemon. I will stand and defend this to my honor. I love Pokemon Go. I'm not going to stop playing it. I enjoy it. It gets me out. Get to walk around. I think it's a good thing. I was at, well, I'll get to my main story here in a second. But I got to tell you a side story. So I went down south to Centennial Lakes because that's where my little niece lives. The girl that's in the pictures on the back of the books. And there's this man-made park called Centennial Lakes. It's very nice, and I enjoy it very much. Seriously, if you're going to come down to Minneapolis, screw the Mall of America, go to Centennial Lakes. The mall is the mall. You'll see the mall. You'll see stores. You're not going to see anything different. Centennial Lakes is different. It's nice. It's kind of like what Western civilization would come up with as a park, even though it's predominantly populated by non-Western people. Not bad nor good. I actually enjoy it, and that's why I was going to bring the point about Pokemon Go is I went there one time, not too long ago, and if you don't know the game Pokemon Go, don't worry about it. Basically, it's all digital, and it's all based on cell phone towers. So the cell phone towers juxtapose perfectly at this place, which is a high traffic area anyway to begin with. So that means there's a lot of Pokemon to find. There's a lot of Pokemon stops. In other words, this digitally speaking, if you were to juxtapose the digital map of the Pokemon world onto the real world, you'd find that Centennial Lakes has a lot of activity going on with Pokemon. So people are going hunting for Pokemon. There were 200 people, at least 200 people. I had to do a panoramic shot because there were just so many people. And they're all sitting there looking at their phones. And I'm like, you know what? Not only do I like the game, but, fuck Michelle Obama. Fuck you leftists. You want to talk about uniting the races. You want to talk about, like, true community. Pokemon Go is where it's at, man. There was every stripe and color and creed and difference of people. You had old fart white guys. You had hipster with their loop-de-loop in their ears. I want to be like the fucking Africans, dipshit hipster millennials. There were young people, old people, black people, Hispanic people. There were East Indians. There were Native Indians. There was everybody. Everybody was there. And everyone was having a grand old time. It was cool because I was going to dinner, a restaurant called Cucumbers. For whatever reason, if you happen to be in Centennial Lakes, go to Cucumbers. It's great. Here's my fucking money. Give me the buffet. So the little niece, and I honest to God, I swear to God, people say I'd be a great father. I think I would be a great father because I know how to read children. I remember what it was like being 3 years old. This kid obviously doesn't want to eat. The kid is anxious, it wants to go out and play. The parents were idiots. They walked it past this playground with all these people and activity. And I remember when I was 3 years old, if you walk me past that, bullshit, I don't want to eat. I want to go out and play. So they were fighting tooth and nail to get this kid to eat. And the kid wouldn't sit down. All the kid wanted to do was play. And I'm kind of like, dude, let the kid go play. It got to the point that she was making such a noise and crying and all that, she started interrupting other people. And I'm like, okay, it ends fucking now. And it ain't my kid. I say, give me the kid. I'll go walk her outside. If for any other reason, to hell with the kid, it was to not interrupt other people's business. You know, it was not to interrupt other people's dinners. I wonder if that happens, especially with white people, by the way, I might add. where your kid is just so motherfucking precious, you just let the kid scream. Are you not aware that there's other people around? Do you not remember 5 short years ago when the children did not exist and somebody's kid would be crying and screaming? Did that not annoy you? Did you not remember it? So the kid is getting fussy. I'm like, look, this kid ain't going to eat. Why are you trying to force it to eat? I'm very a hands-off guy. I remember my parents trying to force me to take naps. Oh, fuck you. You get even a cheaper nursing home than that. You try and force me to take a nap when I'm 11 years old and it's fucking sunny? Fuck you. Oh, you're getting the thin-ply toilet paper. That's how the one-ply toilet paper nursing home, that's what you're going to get when you fucking make me take a nap when I'm fucking 11. It's a beautiful day outside on summer vacation. Oh, yes, sir. So they're trying to like, oh, well, let's force. How do you force a kid to take a nap? How do you force them? What is this concept of forcing children to take naps? They have to go to bed at a bed. They will tire out. Let it happen naturally. I'm not saying you just let the kid be anarchy. There's no discipline or rules. But Jesus Christ, the kid will go to sleep when the kid will go to sleep. The kid will eat what it wants to eat. So anyway, they're fighting this uphill battle to get this kid to eat. The kid doesn't want to eat. I understand the kid doesn't want to eat, but they managed to fit a couple pieces. If the kid wanted to go out and explore, shock of shocks, horrors of horrors, a newborn thing that just came to this new planet that is completely novel to it, wants to go and explore. Imagine fucking that. So I said, give me the kid. Kid interrupting people's dinners. I grabbed the people that were sitting like right behind the screaming child. Were very thankful that I had the foresight and I brought the kid out. And then we had the most pleasant, wonderful uncle-niece experience. I was walking her around. We looked at these boats. Basically, Centennial Lakes is it's man-made lake ponds, really. And you can't even call them lakes. They didn't dam anything up. It's swill, basically. This is the worst water. That's the one drawback. They don't purify that water for crap. Duck poop has been building up in that for 10 years. So all that being said, there's basically three chambers of a lake. There's a walking around. There's miniature golf. There's bocce ball. You can rent paddle boats. It's just wonderful. It's a nice little man-made park. So we went and we looked at these miniature remote control boat races. They had these boat races. It was really cool, man. And it was really neat. We were just watching. She was just fascinated. Just fascinated. I'm watching her being fascinated by that. I'm like, oh, that's entertainment value enough. And she, oh, boat. Want to see boat. I'm like, yeah, they're right there. We can't do it. She wanted to, like, kind of go into the water, too. I'm like, no, you can't go in the water. You're going to get sick with something. We have to drink, you know, over the hospital. But then, like, we're walking around, and she's so small she can't hold hands, so she has to hold my finger. That's how big her hands are. And so we're walking around. Honest to God, had I known about dogs and little children, I would have gotten laid at least 10 times as much as I did now. I would have broken the 300 lays barrier. The girls, guys, listen to me, boys, pay the fuck attention to me. Grab a niece. Grab some friend's illegitimate child if you're that young and you gotta wait for a teenage pregnancy. Grab some little kid and walk around the park. Honest to God, I had so many women that were just like, like, yeah, I did nothing but attach a little child to me. I'm the exact same douchebag I always was, but for some reason now you want to talk to me because I have a little 2-year-old attached to my finger. Same thing with dogs. You get the cutest dog, you get the cutest kid. You don't need no personality skill or game. These girls will walk up to you the day they were talking to me. There was one, woo, holy cow, woo. I was like, I might just be tempted. Some Persian-looking gal, nice tan. I was like, hi, how you doing? I was like, yeah. And she had a dog, I had a kid, you got peanut butter, I got chocolate, and I'm like, I gotta eat it. But the kid wears it out. That's the other thing, though, too. So you don't know about this about kids. I know about kids because I have a niece now. They wear you down. They have unlimited energy. They will go. They will go. And they won't slow down. They will go 100%, and then they will collapse. Like, once you put them in the car, then they fall asleep. But until that time, you got to be in amazing physical shape to keep up with these 2-year-olds. They want to go here, they want to go there. She wanted to climb all these rocks. There was a lake, there was ducks, there was boats, there was this, there was the hot Asian gal or Persian gal. Oh no, she doesn't want to. She wants to climb on rocks. Big boulder rocks. She's climbing. Now who do you think's got to be there to support the little child to make sure it doesn't slip and break its face? Oh, Uncle Clary's got to hold on to the hands, and I'm like, okay, yeah, you're walking on the rocks. After like 15 minutes of that, you're holding essentially a 30-pound weight the entire time as it jumbles around on rocks, and that'll wear you out. Then it wants to go here. Then it wants to go there. We went to this maze thing. They got a maze over at Centennial Lakes. This kid doesn't follow the rules. It doesn't stay within the borders. There's a maze. You are to walk on the cobbled streets, the cobbled path, the one that has the actual stone path on it. You can't go through the grass. Oh no, she goes through the, runs around, and you gotta go chase it before it falls into the swamp. So I forgot where I was going with that. Anyway, that, the Pokemon thing, yeah. So I was, everybody was congregated there, 200 people congregating. Swear to God, that has done more to solve race relations. You want to get into your fellow brotherhood of mismatched races and creeds and genders, go play Pokemon, man. It's cool. And then, like, you go to these places where it's really hot, these, I guess we could call them hot spots. It doesn't matter. Everybody's there for the same thing. It's a good old time. Good old time. I didn't even worry about politics at that moment. I just looked, as I was dealing with the demon child, I just looked. I'm like, wow, everyone's having a good old time. And I was, okay, I admit I was dressed stuffy. I had Bermuda shorts on and a very fancy shirt, button shirt with like buttoned undone, like two buttons down. I had a white brim hat. And I was telling the GF when she came down. And Evelyn, they all ate. Imagine that. The parents all ate. The adults ate. And there was no chaos and drama. And I took the little demon child out. But they came back down after they were done eating. And she's like, what's with all these people? I'm like, they're all playing Pokemon. And then this, like, hipster millennial girl, she's like, you don't know it unless you experience it. I say, I'll have you know, young lady, I'm level 11. And I am. Well, actually, now I'm level 12. I call myself a Scyther. That boosted my ratings up. If I wasn't sexy enough already, ladies, I know I am your fantasies late at night, your discreet fantasy late at night. But if you wanted to add a little bit, you know, add a cherry to the sundae, I'm a level 12 Pokemon master. That's so the Pokemon, I am pro. I am so pro Pokemon. You have no idea. You should do it. Guys, look. Ladies, too. All three of you. I get the big eye roll. I went to have dinner with an Italian family. They're a very big, traditional Italian family. We went to an Italian restaurant. And like, ah, boppity boopity boopity boppity. Hey, oh, oh, hey. And that's pretty much what it was. And when I told one of my other friends there, like, who's known me for, like, at least 15 years, he looks at me, he's like, you play Pokemon? I'm like, yeah. He's like, wait. You play Pokemon? I'm like, have you tried it yet? I know this has all the markings of a typical brainwashed, mindless, robotic, obey the screen type of thing. But it gets you out, and it's fun. Now look, if you're the sheeple type, yes, that accusation, that description is 100% true. It is for the sheeple, it is mindless, it is for the masses. But if you're also an intelligent person, which is the only audience that listens to me, it's fun, it's lighthearted. I mean, none of you guys are going to get addicted. I mean, you guys can't stand watching TV, but this is something where you and the wife want to go out walking by yourself, or, as is increasingly so the case, we have very unique individuals that just can't find anybody because you're so unique or on, you know, three standard deviations to the right of the bell curve. This is a great thing for you to go and just do on your own. And then you'll also actually kind of meet people because you will congregate around the hot spots. And all of a sudden there's like 100 people running like, oh, dude, what's going on? Don't mark my words. Mark my words. Here it is, 2:46 p.m., August the 5th, 2016. There will be Pokemon Go weddings and Pokemon Go births. Like when the snowstorm hits And then all of a sudden there's like a spat of babies being born because at times 9 months before when there was a snowstorm, everyone was just having sex. Or when the Packers win the Super Bowl or stuff like that, there's a boost in the birthing rate over in Wisconsin. Okay, it's going to be the exact same thing. You mark my words. There will be Pokemon weddings. There was we met playing Pokemon. I didn't know. And then I met John. And John had a Jigglypuff. And oh my gosh, I didn't know. Yeah, oh my. And we battled. And he beat me. He bested me. And that just turned me on. And then we went and we got coffee. And it's going to happen, guys. It's going to happen. Mark my words. It will happen. That's not what I wanted to lead off, though, with on the podcast here today. What I was originally going to lead off with was what I witnessed today. While I was doing Pokemon, I was walking around getting some hiking because it's not so hot anymore today. But I was walking around, you know, trying to hunt Pokemon, got to catch them all. And I came across a scene that I've seen way too many times. I don't want to see it no more, I really don't, because it harkens me back to my childhood days. I'm like, oh shit, I remember that. And it was the handoff. You know the handoff? Oh, you know the handoff. Half of you know the handoff because half of you end up in divorce. And half of you were fucking idiots to breed children into the world under divorced families. So they do the handoff where the dad hands the children off to the mom or the mom hands the children off to the dad. And as if you weren't, like, sucky enough parents already, do you have to, like, do it in the worst circumstances and environments possible? Like, could you... I'm not saying you gotta go to a church or some kind of like fancy, you know, we must do the procedure of the handoff, but could you not do it at a gas station? Could you not do it like in the parking lot of a grocery store or Walmart? And this one wasn't even that bad. This one, I'm walking and the road goes straight, so I could see quite some distance. And I see... It's a tall father figure. That's how far off in the distance it was. I couldn't make things up, but I knew there was a kid, there was a male, and there was a female based on how people were dressed and how height was. And the dad's just giving a hug to his daughter, like, goodbye and everything as I got closer and closer. And you could see this kid. This kid was miserable, on the border of crying. She wasn't happy. And the mom's like, let's go. We gotta go. We gotta go. And, like, it's... They had this minivan or something, and... I didn't know if the dad drove the minivan, he was dropping off at the mom's place, or the mom drove the minivan, was going to pick up the daughter. But you just look at that poor kid's face, and that's what kind of stuck with me, and that's why I wanted to lead off with this. Just fuck you. You fucking scumbag parents who get divorced, just fuck you. You miserable fail. You should feel guilt, you should feel shame. And don't dare ever try to rationalize it. You just weren't happy. This poor fucking kid. I'm looking at the kid. The dad is, like, torn up about it. I mean, I think the dad was dropping the kid off, was giving a hug. The mom seemed to be a little bit hostile. And I'm not saying that because I'm anti-woman or I'm a misogynist. That's just what it was. And you could just, it doesn't matter who's handing off who or who's the better parent or who's the worst parent. All was is that this poor kid is being handed off like a fucking baton in a marathon relay race. Like a football in a pass. Kid was on the verge of crying. And it just shows me how you pathetic fucking losers, of the Gen X generation, I might say. This was not baby boomers. The baby boomers, they're done. The time of the baby boomers is over. The time of Gen X has come. So it has nothing to do with generations. It's just like, what a fucking douche move. To get divorced when you have kids. I've always advocated and I always looked up to this one particular family where they stayed married until the kids... turned 18 and graduated from high school, I might add, by the way. And they lived separate lives. And that's what, when President Cleary comes into command, not by law, I wouldn't even bother with Congress. I'm just saying, we got a military. Hey, you guys over in South Korea, come on back. I got a mission for you. And we basically would say, oh, are you going to get divorced? That's very interesting. If you get divorced, you're going to be fucking dead. And the state will take your children and your assets. You will no longer, we will expunge you from the records of history. You will not even exist anymore. Or, Plan B, motherfuckers. You're going to put on a smiley face show for your children. And you are not going to fake, you are going to maintain a nuclear fucking family. And when the kids turn, the youngest turns 18, then you can get divorced, and then you can actually put your lives ahead of your own children. But in the meantime, since you've had children, you will not dare put your life ahead of your own children because you were so stupid in choosing a mate. And this was a good handoff. This was good. This was at somebody's house, obviously. I don't think these kids even know at the time when it's happening to them. I didn't know it at the time. It didn't matter where or when. It was just like, yeah, your parents aren't together. And then, somehow, according to feminists from the 60s, that's okay. That's kosher because there's a fucking government check. I guess that makes everything better, but your genetics and biology and logic, self-respect tells you otherwise. But from an outside observer, now older and wiser, like, God almighty, can you divorced fuck-ups at least not do the handoff, like, in a back alley? I think the handoff should be, like, a blowjob or some form of coitus. It should be in a personal setting. It should be in private. You don't hand your children off to the spouse at a fucking Super America gas station. You don't hand your kid off at the Exxon Mobil or the British Petroleum. You don't hand them off in the parking lot of a McDonald's. You don't hand them off in the parking lot of a Walmart. And I've seen it happen before. I even saw one time there was a handoff over at Target. And I saw the kid, because I know the kid. I'm not going to mention who the kid is, but I'm like, and this kid was sad. The kid was just sad. Because it had to be handed off. It didn't realize how degrading it was. It didn't realize how little the parents actually cared about the kid because they're just going to hand it off at a Target. It's just the saddest thing where it's like, I don't know. I mean, if I have my dog and I had to hand it off to somebody, I'd maybe do it at a dog park. Something where the dog would be happy. And it just shows me how much you divorced fuck-ups view your kids as a commodity or a chess piece to wage war against your other spouse. You don't give a flying fuck about these kids. It's like, oh, well, it's a thing, and I'm going to hand this thing off. Oh, yeah, let's do it at the Amtrak station. Let's do it at the Greyhound bus stop. Let's hand this thing. Oh, it's the most important. Oh, you women are so fucking precious. It's the most important thing. The number. You look at these dating profiles. Thank God I got out of the dating racket before online dating became mainstream. But, like, I remember the profiles where it was like, my child comes first. No, your child doesn't come first. You come first. That's why there's no dad around. If the child came first, you'd make sure there was a fucking dad. And that's why we fuck you single mothers and use you like the pieces of tool that you are. Did he just say that? Yes, I did. But come on, guys. Come on. Gen X, please. My fellow brothers and women in arms. Sisters in arms. I know you're just as fucked up and pathetic as the baby boomers. Perhaps even more so. Can you not hand your kid off over at the dump? And where should we hand the kid off? Let's go to the most demeaning, belittling place. The kid's already fucked up for life. The kid's already going to have decades of therapy. The kid is going to have such a huge disadvantage. How can we put salt on the wounds? How can we twist the hilt of the knife? How can we fuck up this guy? I know. Let's find the most degrading base place we can possibly have the handoff to illustrate to this young child how little we actually care about each other and the child itself. Let's do it at a gas station. Let's do it at a country bar. Let's do it. I mean, come on, help me out here, guys. Help me out. And for those of you in the ghetto, where do you guys hand off your children in the ghetto? This is predominantly white suburb area, trailer trash, Wyoming. And suburbanite WBL. So this is just what I've experienced. Where do they hand it off? Atham, you're Hispanic. Tell me where they hand off the kids at the barrio. Is it at school? We have black listeners, Marcus, Darius. Tell me what happens in the ghetto. Of course, I guess these guys never really did live in the ghetto. I'm just saying, where does the handoff take place? Because I'll tell you this, it fucking sucks. Fucking sucks for that goddamn kid. But as long as you parents are not inconvenienced, we wouldn't want you to be inconvenienced. And we certainly wouldn't want you guys to have guilt, which is obvious none of you do, because you guys just don't give a flying fuck about your kid. That's the thing that gets me. That's the whole point. I'm like, why are you doing the handoff in such a shitty place? Don't you have any care or consideration or compassion for the kid? I mean, at least can you drop the kid off and pick the kid up at the other spouse's home so the kid has a little bit of semblance of home? You know, not pick him up at the train station. Not pick him up at school. School's already a very hostile, bad environment. Nah. Okay, let's do some sponsors here. Oop, hang on. There we go. If you'd like to advertise on the podcast, we have about 3,000 listeners weekly. That's my estimate. I'm not an SEO expert. I just heard somewhere between the Stitcher and the iTunes and the downloads versus listening, you could basically double or quadruple. If I quadrupled it, then it'd be a lot more. I'm just going to double it and assume that it's 3,000 listeners weekly. So if you'd like to advertise, it's $100 a month. That does not just get you the podcast, that also gets you the blog, a YouTube mention, and all that, of which YouTube, I have 25,000 subscribers. Or we're approaching it. We're just shy. Maybe I'll celebrate. Maybe it is already at 25,000. I don't know. Then we have Chad Elkins at ElkinsCPA.com. If you guys are looking for an accountant, go to ElkinsCPA.com. Where the alt-right, the red pill resident CPA is willing to offer you his accounting services. Get him now before busy season, which is tax season, starts coming next January. So you got time, but don't delay. If you have any, you know, now would be the time to talk to him about 401ks and IRAs and stuff like that. Then we have the League of Extraordinary Podcasters. We have the 405 Media at 405media.com. That is a basically a radio station of podcasts. But it's kind of a misnomer, because why would you be stupid enough to spend money on a radio station when you just need a laptop and a good microphone? Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait. They laid off a guy in Minneapolis on 11:30 a.m. I don't even listen to talk radio anymore, because why would you? You got the internet. But they laid this guy off. It was the Milky Toast, you know, Rhino Republican type radio station. This guy got a little too close to the truth. And since nobody in the establishment right has any balls or spine left, they had to get rid of him. And I'm just kind of like, fine, so what? Do what Likas did, man. Go do your podcast. Do what Chris Kroc did. Honestly, it's one of those rare instances where, like, yeah, you go ahead, lay us off. We got, it's like getting booted from the Titanic and saying, here, get off this ship and take this life raft with you. We don't want you. We're not good enough for us. It's like, yeah, okay, see ya. Bye. So you could go ahead and listen to all those guys over there. Then Silvio Canto, a Canto Talk on Blog Talk Radio. Jason Hartman, he has two podcasts. He has The Swank Lifestyle, and then one on real estate investing. Just look up Jason Hartman podcast. You'll find it. He has his hands in kind of a little bit of everything. Free Domain Radio, that's Stefan Molyneux's outfit. You can find Kerry Lutz on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. I'll be on his show, was it Wednesday, I guess? And of course, St. Likas. Got to go to St. Likas at blowmeuptom.com. Crush the Street, I'll also be on their show. When is it? Tomorrow? I'll be recording tomorrow. And they do damn good interviews. I enjoy talking to Ken and those guys. But check that out on YouTube. Engineered Truth, our good friend Matt Tran, and special guest celebrity consultant of Asshole Consulting when it comes to an IT question that is too difficult for me. I'm like, Matt, come over here. You're Asian. It's not because he has experience in the world of IT. That's why I outsource to an expert. And he's Asian. That's... Oh, what else? Where are we? Push a Grubber Downhill, the podcast, the website, and the book. Go to our good friend Adam Piggott's website. Just search Pushing Rubber Downhill. You'll find the book, podcast, and website. If you just do a general Google search for him. And then Glendon Cameron, Kung Fu Hustler. You can find him on YouTube as well. Lori Zook, The World of Lori Zook. Just search. Zook is not that hard of a name to find, guys. If you want to take a little bit of a break or a breather from the politics and economics world, go to Lori Zook. It's more of a lifestyle blog, but one that's entirely. Usually when they say lifestyle, it's like, oh my goodness, what kind of makeup are we going to wear? Oh, do you know that you could cure warts with cucumber paste? Oh, jeez. She's a little bit more empirical and journalistic. She does a lot of research and gets some interesting. I'd say Phil Donahue-ish, except not as boring. Does anybody remember Phil Donahue? That's what my mom would watch back in the day. Just to show you how warped things were. Like, I thought Phil Donahue as a little kid was this brilliant man because mom watched him all the time. And now in hindsight, you realize, dude, this was like the Oprah or the Dr. Phil of the day. This was just slop that they served up to the housewives to, like, feed their little brains full of whatever. And I don't know what the big deal with. Well, I thought he was like, God, oh wow, Phil Donahue, he's a really important guy. And then you're like, nah, you're just another media hack. Is he alive still anymore? Nah. Ed Lattimore, he doesn't have a podcast, but he does have a website. Go to edlattimore.com. You can look at him. And yeah, that's it for the League of Extraordinary Podcasters. And then we all, and Davis Arini is back. Let me put him back on the freaking list. Davis Arini. YouTube decided to give him back his website, so he's up there. So that was good. I listened to a podcast. And what's his name? John Steele. He's still running with the old let's bribe everybody to plug Aaron Clary on Chris Beckloff's podcast. He's still running with that joke. So, hey, John, if you get more consistent with your interviews, like you come out once a week, I'll start plugging you for free, too. Actually, I owe you for all the play. Actually, you know what? Go to John Steele's website. He interviewed the latest hot, cute conservative girl that parrots conservative talking points. I don't know. She's some blonde girl. She just came on the scene. She didn't exist a month ago, and now she's got 40,000 subscribers on Twitter and 10 million on you. I don't know. It's Lauren Southern version 2.0, which is Ann Coulter version 2.0. So I don't keep up or keep track. It's kind of sad. It's these girls could be saying very intelligent, wise things, but you just dismiss them now because of all the affirmative action-y type of stuff going on. What else? Oh, Glorious Hat. Go to glorioushat.com to get your Glorious Hat from Glorious Carl. It's that Kami Obama hat. It's the nice Ushanka hat that will keep you warm. Maybe not in August. August, you're probably not going to use it. But, hey, you know what? Get your wife or your the love of your life, that kind of hat, and say, today we play Naughty Russian. And then she'll have to go get new outfits or something like that. Then we have my Amazon affiliate program. If you do any online shopping, please do your online shopping through the old Claire Meister's Amazon affiliate program. You could find that by going to my blog, captaincapitalism.blogspot.com. You have to turn off your ad blocker. And I got to come up with a workaround for this, because now the ad blockers are starting to become pretty standard in your browsers. So maybe you have to open up an old version of Microsoft Explorer. But if you do any online shopping, please get into the habit of going to my website first, clicking on that banner ad, which is in the top right corner of the blog, right underneath the advertisement for Curse of the High IQ. And I get a 7% cut. You don't pay any more. And if you do all your online shopping there, the old captain is very happy because then he can pay for hosting costs. Then we also have assholeconsulting.com. If you need the old captain to advise you personally and privately, discreetly, doesn't have to be broadcasted over the internet. You got a problem that hasn't been solved, that I have not addressed, or is very specific and unique to you, and you want the truth, well, you can get it for a price. Go to assholeconsulting.com. Do expect to pay. It is not a free service. I am not... what's his name? Barack Obama. I don't give away other people's money for free, so you are going to pay me, as the Joker says. When you're good at something, you never do it for free. AcademicComposition.com. Just so you know, not only will they write your worthless liberal arts paper homework in college, maybe even high school. I don't even think he has any morals about doing kids' homework in high school. Parents might get pissed off, but eh. What would you do? Like, I know the generation now. It's Gen X parents, right? Like, what? How can they even possibly intimidate you? Like, if a Gen X dad called you, I heard you. Shut up. I got your kids' money. Go fuck yourself. Yeah. You're going to come out here and go pummel me for $25 that I charge your kid to write his paper. Why don't you go talk to your kid? There's where the problem is. It's like your wife cheating on you. Don't go talk to the guy that she's cheating on you with. Why don't you go talk to the wife? That's where the problem is. Ow, but no, men's egos just don't get away. The logic goes out the window when the hormones and the emotions and the feels come in. Anyway, so academic composition, they'll write your college papers for you. But that's not all. They also do resumes. They will put together a resume for you, professionally put together for $100. And they will, there won't be, the, it'll sidestep, it'll get right, it'll sail right through the HR department. They know how to write the HR Spinglishese. They know how to speak that language at the HR ladies. Actually, a lot of times it's just computers searching for specific words. So they'll put the, together that resume for you. So don't waste your time. If you're intimidated by doing resumes, it's going to take you 8 hours to do it right. Or maybe not even. That's probably what's more likely to happen. You're going to spend 8 hours, all this time, effort, and energy, and it's still going to come out wrong, like fixing your car. You'll make things worse. Spend the $100 to put together, or to have Alex put together a resume for you. And then he's always looking to hire writers, and he's always looking to hire marketing people. So go to academiccomposition.com. And send him an email. Then we have Matt Forney, mattforney.com. He has many, many different things going on online. He has a podcast. He's on YouTube. He has a bunch of books like I do. But the book he wants plugged now is called Do the Philippines. So you can go ahead and get that book, Do the Philippines, if you want to go and do Ladies in the Philippines. That's where you can go. Betterment. I have an affiliate marketing program with Betterment. That is pretty much about the only investment firm I go with because it's a robo-advisor and there's not a lot of people involved. It's an algorithm. It's a formula. You plug in some variables. It tells you what to invest in. And because it's a robot, it doesn't cost as much as some skeezy, perfectly smile, recently graduated MBA from the University of Ohio scumbag who just can't find a job and now has become a financial planner. Also, our good friend Max. Max, I'm not joking. He has an Instagram account, and you're rolling your eyes like I am rolling my eyes. We are rolling our eyes because we do not understand this latest youth thing, the Instagram. It's like, it's just pictures. But apparently, they're making money off of it, and Matt has made me money off of it, because if you go to Instagram.com/ultimate reading list/, he has basically just a webpage, an Instagram account, of all these different books that capitalists, entrepreneurs, right-leaning folk, conservatives, libertarian types like and enjoy. That's his niche. So if you're looking for some books to read, go to Instagram.com/ultimate reading list/. And not only books to read, but if you happen to be an author like myself and you want to advertise on his website, it's $100 a month. And guys, it's at least worth 1 month advertising with them because I definitely made more than $100 that first month. I even made more than $100 the second month, and that's the whole idea with marketing expenses. You got to make more money than you put in. So I would go and visit Max over at that website. I also have a link to it. It just says URL. That's not code. It's on the blog. It's just this image that says URL. If you click on that, then you'll see the traffic coming through it. Otherwise, just let Max know that the captain sent you because he gives me a little bit of a discount on my advertising. Uncle Nick by Frank Cervi. That is available for sale on Amazon. That's just look at just the cover says everything. Go to my blog, Captain Capitalism. Look for the book cover of Frank Cervi, and you'll be like, oh, that's that looks pretty tempting. That looks pretty interesting. We got my two classes, the analysis evaluation of stocks, which I guess nobody is taking. I don't understand why. I understand why. It's advanced and it doesn't play to the masses. I looked at my enrollments and it's just hilarious. Like my enrollments for the introductory course, stocks, bonds, investing, oh my, that's like at 1,000. And then there's stocks, the analysis evaluation of stocks, which is thrice as good as the introductory one and much more interesting, I might add. That gets like 50. I'm like, really? What? It's like, would you like platinum? No, we want tin. All right, but the platinum is much worth more better. No, we want the tin. It's all right. Here's your tin. So anyway, you could take either class. The introductory class is called Stocks, Bonds, Investing, Oh My. Very good, very basic introductory class. You're just going to learn. It's a mile wide and an inch deep. You're not going to learn everything. You'll just learn the basics, which I guess has more of a wide appeal. I understand that. But if you really want to take a really good class and learn about finance and economics, like you really want a good, strong foothold into finance and economics and how financial markets work and what is value and how do you read financial statements, I would go and get take the class, The Analysis and Valuation of Stocks. You can find those both online by searching the titles. They're offered at hundreds of different nonprofit community ed departments, Parks and Rec, even that type of thing. Just search that that title. You'll find them online. Take it wherever it's cheapest because, frankly, it's online. It doesn't matter. Unless you wanted to get it for credit, then you got to take it through an actual university or something like that. And then I think they charge you an arm and a leg. So, but don't worry, you're not going to graduate with a degree in finance. So just go ahead and take it as adult education. Then there's another book, The Stringers by T.J. Martinell. He is written that book. How's his sales doing since I actually went back? Only 3.4 million? Millionth place? I wish and he wishes he sold 3.4 million, but that's his place. And Uncle Nick is at 1 million. Where's Reconnaissance Man? Oh, we got another review on Reconnaissance Man. All right. Reconnaissance Man is at 64,000th place. Who wrote a review? Two number one reviews. That's the problem with these reviews, and not that I don't appreciate it, I very much do appreciate it. You know that the people who went out and bought the book that very day, you guys already like me. It's like, you're kind of like, who's this Clary guy? I don't know. And you're not already biased towards it. I kind of wait for those reviews to come in. But all the first initial reviews, well, actually, they're not. They're always fives or ones, because then you get the haters in there who don't read it. Like the last book I wrote, Curse of the High IQ, I published it, and within 2 hours, somebody had already written a review, and it was a one-star. It's like, there was no way. It's only available in paperback. There was no way it was delivered, and there was no way you read it, and then 2 hours later wrote a review. So you get the haters and the lovers, and then I got to kind of suss out where the reality is in between. Maybe you guys cancel out each other. I could just say, this is about right. This is about a four-star book. It's a 4.5. Always envious of Adam Piggott's five-star review of Pushing Rubber Downhill. And he's got a ton of reviews, and he still has like a 5.0. It's like, it was a really great book. I cannot recommend it enough. I can almost recommend it as much as my own books. Anyway, so that's The Stringers by T.J. Martinell. You can find that available on paperback and Kindle. And that's it. All right. Hey, you know what? I think it's time for the news.
Now listen, man, I like the news. You guys like the news?
I first had to verify this through multiple sources because, as you know, these United Kingdom articles, you don't know if they're legitimate news sources or if they're like the Daily Mail, where it's a little bit more of a tabloid. But this was bore out in several other places. London Fellatio Cafe, planned near Paddington Station by Geneva businessman. A company plans to set up a fellatio cafe in central London where customers receive oral sex while having a cappuccino. I'm like, that is a brilliant idea. I know you girls are just like, oh gosh, girl. Even you conservative, libertarian, right-leaning, traditional, whatever, the handful of you nice, pretty ladies, right? Sorry, this is how boys think. And I know you may have a visceral, bleh, like you want to upchuck or you got the hiccups or something. It doesn't change the fact that this is true. This is what every guy wants. You know what? Like that naughty outfit that you think your husband secretly wants, but he'll never come around and say it. He kind of beats around. Yes, he wants you to wear that slutty outfit. Yes, he does. And you can fight that just like you can fight gravity or fight the sun being hot or fight water being wet. Or you can accept that. And I'm not even saying you have to use it to your advantage. You just all men want is acceptance. Not even socially, just of their nature. This is what men are like. And they don't want to be moralized or lectured over it, okay? Bradley Charvet, who's already planning on a branch in Geneva to open this December, said the organization he works for called Bumpix had its eyes on a property in Praed Street in Paddington. Catering exclusively to men, Mr. Charvet said that business would be like a normal cafe where up to 100 customers can sit and drink a coffee, but also be given oral sex by an escort. This will cure me of my alcoholism. Yeah, Clary gave up the booze, but God, he sure likes coffee now. What the hell? You're all jittery from all the cups of coffee. Like, hey, how you doing? You're like, what's the South Park kid's name? Is it Craig? Who's the South Park kid who's, hang on, let's look it up. The South Park kid. South Park kid coffee. Spaz? No, Tweak! Tweak is his name. His parents run the coffee shop, and he's always freaking out and always shaking. That'd be pretty much every guy. Gonna be a lot of shaky guys in Geneva and London. Modeled on a similar business in Thailand, the idea has already sparked uproar in Switzerland with the promise that punters can pick an escort. I guess that means Johns. Is punter a John? One of you guys over in the UK, tell me, is that basically a guy who's a John looking for an escort? Can pick an escort from a thumbnail photos on an iPad when they go inside. Mr. City Council has indicated to the Standard that such a venue would not be able to get a license, and it has also been slammed by a leading women's rights group. That I don't understand. These feminists can't make up their minds. Are they pro-sex, anti-sex, sex-positive feminism? Oh God, porn is enslavement. You never listen to them, boys. Just never listen to women when they talk about themselves. You just watch their behavior. See, here's the other thing. I gotta imagine this guy is doing it for marketing purposes, just to get free marketing for some other. In other words, this is a red herring. There's an ulterior motive here. Because I'm sure the Westminster City Council ain't going to allow it. I'm sure they know that Britain is super PC. Like Sweden, the Brits have gotten their balls pretty much snipped off. Maybe not as much. Maybe they're like Hitler. They got one left. But the women there are actively trying to cut it away. So I'm wondering if there's an ulterior motive here. It could also fall foul of the law, as in Great Britain, prostitution is not illegal, but running or owning a brothel or pimping are considered crimes. But Mr. Charvet told the Standard, "We are happy this will be a legal business in the UK, which is nice because it will be organized and controlled. We need to fix some details to avoid trouble. It's on the way." Sounds like the guy's got a plan B. I like this guy. I like this guy not because he's crass or lewd, because he's in the sex trade. I like it because he's ballsy enough to just deliver what people demand. It's a real capitalist, and he's got some up his sleeve. So I'm actually going to, hopefully this makes the news again. Prices would start at £50. That's what, $75? He claimed, adding, "Then if the fellatio is long, over 15 minutes, extras are going to be added, £10 per 15 minutes. He went on, "The project is in progress. At the moment, our lawyer is doing the job to get the right stuff done. It will be in Paddington, close to the Hilton Hotel and the Tube. It's an area with good visitors and tons of people around." Alongside the legal complications, Mr. Charvet has shrugged off suggestions the business was ethically wrong. He said, "I would say no one is forced to work in this coffee shop. It's a normal job. You do your job 8 hours per day if they decide to work in full time. Good conditions will be provided for the security and the health. I am married. All the guys around the area also. Good conditions." I'm trying to read this, guys, but sometimes it's written so poorly. "Good conditions will be provided for their security and health. I am married. All the guys around area also, and we respect the ladies." Okay? So all the other guys around the area are married as well? Is that what he meant to say? But Rachel Chris, co-director of End Violence Against Women Foundation. Hang on, let's see what this broad looks like. Rachel Chris. How much you want to bet she ain't no catwalk model? Rachel Chris. Anti-violence. Yeah, because they're forced to do this. End violence against women. Violence against women. Well, where's the website? This must be a know-nothing website if, End Violence Against Women Foundation. Okay, not anti-violence. End Violence Against Women Foundation. Okay, we got a picture here. Oh, yeah. She is not good looking. Previous Employment and Quality and Diversity Forum. Inclusive Employers. The Employers Forum on Age. All right, so this gal has no real-world experience. Yeah, here's her background. Head of Hub Media and Communications. Equality and Diversity Forum. The Employers. Age Concerned England. Honest to God. Do I have to go through the theory again? There's no such thing as ugly people, only lazy people. And it's no shock that ugly women are against beautiful women because they provide competition, and deep down inside they're still jealous that these gals are getting laid and the attention and money of men, and they're not. But that's because they're too lazy, therefore they have to go to the government to basically force men to pay them taxes through make-work government jobs. Did I summarize it? Did I succinctify it here? You can always... It's more predictable than when Kepler came up with... Was it the Kepler's laws that predict the rotations of the planets? Was that... I mean, this is even... This law is more predictable than that. Anytime men and women are having fun... Two adults under their own agreement, no one's being forced, it's two adults agreeing to exchange, you get these harpies inheritance coming in, and none of them are good looking. None of them. And for people to say, oh, that's just coincidence, no, it's not coincidence. It's that lazy people who don't want to stay and selfish people, I might add, too, who don't want to do anything for anybody else. You think I like going to the gym? You think I like running 6 miles every other day? Don't like it terribly much. It's a pain in the ass. I wish I could be a fat, you know, amazing atheist type of guy. I wish I could let my body go to pot like that. That'd be great. That'd be wonderful. But I'm not a selfish, lazy fuck. I'm not all into myself. I want other people, predominantly my girlfriend in this particular case, to be happy. I don't want to run around the lake with my shirt off and people say, put your shirt back on. But I certainly then don't go to the other, like if that wasn't enough, then I go and start pushing my nose into other people's business because frankly, I'm gel. And if I can't have fun, if I can't get laid, then no one can. Rachel Chris is nothing more than, how much you want to bet when her and her girlfriends go out, like she's the tubby wingman or wingwoman. She's the cock blocker, the mother hen that makes sure none of her other female friends have fun. Nobody's having fun. If I'm not having fun, then nobody is. Rachel Chris, co-director of the End Violence Against Women Foundation, which is in favor of decriminalizing prostitutes, but not their clients or pimps. So, on top of it, you're sexist. Like the women could go, okay, they're fine, they got, but the men better pay them, and not only are they going to pay up front with a cash and fee, they're going to pay with crime and time in jail. Oh, God. She said, I think it would break a number of laws. Miss Chris, well, yeah, no doubt, Miss, went on. People around and about the area where places like this open also experience. People around and about the area where places like this open also experience an increase in men behaving unpleasantly, which is why the licensing laws are very strict. Well, why don't you know what? Why don't you just do what they're doing in Sweden? Put women a little bands. Do not rape. Remember that they were going to put those little bands in Swedish, even though the Somalis and the Ethiopians don't fucking read that language. They put those bands, and that was going to get people to stop raping. What behavior? The men are paying. There's no booze. There's no alcohol. What we got to do is you got to argue past what they're telling you and really look at what their ulterior motives are. That's what you have to address. You have to go past whatever words and excuse they're saying, like, well, this might put some women in trouble. But no, what it boils down to is you hate men and you hate pretty women and you hate the fact that some people are having fun and you're jealous. That's what this is. It's basically, and if it comes down to this sex positive feminism versus anti-pornography. I'm going to go with the anti-pornography. Not me personally for my beliefs, but what ultimately drives them. Because let's put it this way, women don't want to have any competition whatsoever. And if all of a sudden you got a bunch of gals who are hotter and better looking than them, a guy could just throw 50 pounds to, and then that keeps them off the market, or that keeps them away from the marriage market, or that's money and attention and resources that they paid to a prostitute or a stripper or a cafe blowjob artist, and it didn't go to Ms. Harpy Heridian. That's that much less resources and money that went to them. They just, these leftists, especially these, they just don't want to work. They don't want to work, and they don't want to do other things for other people they don't like to do. And I'm not talking sex. I'm talking anything. They don't like to do any job. This is why they're constantly like, this broad here, Rachel Chris, working at these nonprofits, guarantee you none of this money came willingly. It was always the British taxpayer with a gun to their head or a baton, whatever those British guys carry, saying, you either pay these taxes so we could pay this woman who doesn't want to work a real job or provide anything in society. And I'm terribly sorry, ladies. The number one thing demand from you is beauty and sex. That's the number one sought-after commodity. I was talking to Sergeant Jay, and I think I wrote it. He read something in my article, and he's like, holy cow, I never saw it that way. The number one commodity in the world has been and always will be beauty and sex from younger women. And that reason why it's the most in-demand commodity is because half the population demand it. And they're willing to go for it to great lengths. They demand it more than oil. They demand it more than electricity. If you said, hey, go without electricity for a day or get a blowjob, I think most guys would say, yeah, I'll take the blowjob. I could go without electricity for a day. And all the wealth that has been built up in the world, all the creations, all the civilization, everything good that ever can, has come from the desire of men to have sex with beautiful young women. That's the most demand. That is the, you have the most amount of resources chasing after one thing. And you girls can either accept that and on top of it, capitalize on it. These men part with their money like dipshits. I just saw this one guy, I won't mention details. He is on his third mail order bride and has sent over 50 grand to her before he had to go marry her. She's half his age, and I've seen this gal's pics, and I'm like, are you joking me? You can't see that this is a scam. So there, ladies, take advantage of it. Absolutely take advantage of it. Men are dumb. Some of them can't control it. Right? Now, you're going to, you can even capitalize it on the internet. I know the internet kind of provides even more competition to prostitutes and hookers and strippers and all that. But you could go online now. I've talked about this before. You could go online and it's much safer. You don't have to be a stripper in person. You don't need a bouncer. You just need a webcam. Fucking hell. We're talking with Ann Sturzinger and the guys over at Beckloff's podcast. They're talking about jokingly about selling used panties online. I had to look it up, found out they pay $60 for a pair of panties. There's guys out there that do that. You girls don't even have to see the guy. You get a post office box to keep yourself anonymous. You mail it to one person to have them mail at another place so they think your zip code is something else. And they pay. They pay. Shoot, I don't even need to be a girl. I just need a cute girl to lend me her image and then I'll go run the fucking panties through the fucking thing and give her a cut. Yeah, this is that girl's panties. Yep. Ignore the nose hair that fell out when I was shaving. All right. Another set of news, though not unrelated.
Now, listen, man. I like the news. You guys like the news?
This was on CBS, but I found it on The Consumerist. A woman gets $163 bill instead of romance after online date dines and dashes. Oh, we're getting back. Oh, it's, hey, do you like being treated equal, huh? Equal rights, baby. Have you gone on a bad date recently? Maybe he had food in his teeth the whole time, or perhaps she wouldn't stop talking about her precious moments collection. It could have been worse, though. Your date could have ordered a bunch of food and drinks at a pricey steakhouse and then fled, leaving you with the bill. So I have a question here. How is this any different when a gal divorces her husband and takes half his assets? Not to mention maybe 10 to 20 years of his life. And his children. Not to go the standard old men's rights activist and all that, but really, please, this gets back to the time-old question. How is marriage or dating anything but prostitution? Oh, we're going to stop. That's filth. That's evil. That's bad. That should be banned, where a gal's giving a guy a blowjob while he's drinking a cappuccino. But hey, you know what? If a gal takes a guy for $500,000 and maybe has sex with him 100 times or so, that's okay, because that was ordained under marriage. See, marriage doesn't make it slutty. It makes it pure. It makes it empowering. I think the only reason the leftists and the feminists are pissed is because the divorce lawyers and the divorce court doesn't get any money out of that. You know, there's no overhead. There's no payoff money going to the government divorce corp mafioso when it's prostitution. It's just an exchange between two innocent adults. But hey, when you get divorced, then hey, a lot of people make off with a lot of money. That's what happened to a Los Angeles area woman who said she was forced or faced with a $163 dinner bill after her online date dined and then, well, dashed. And it seems like this isn't the first time he's pulled that move. Oh, he's out. It's a mysterious man, a repeat offender. A serial dine and dasher. She told CBS LA that she'd sent a flattering... Oh, that he'd sent a... Swear to God, I can't read fucking today. She told CBS LA that he'd sent her a flattering message on dating site Plenty of Fish. After a few exchanges, they decided to meet a... To meet at a steakhouse, guys. I mean, half of it's me not being able to read. The other half is you fucking quote journalists who can't write. After a few exchanges, they decided to meet a steakhouse in downtown LA, even though it was a bit on the pricey side for her. Her date was definitely in the mood to eat, at least. He ordered a lot of food. He had an appetizer. He ordered a steak. This restaurant is all a la carte, she explained. He even ordered a couple sides, a glass of wine. So he was looking like he was really enjoying himself. Jeez, I've never had women do that to me. Tell me what the difference is between a guy dining and dashing and us guys buying you girls a bunch of dinners and then you don't have sex. What's the difference? Oh, you didn't get your attentions and feelings out of this guy? You didn't get to like keep him captive audience as a hostage as you told him about all your life's problems that are largely self-inflicted? Because that's what it's like with guys. We got to tolerate listening to you. We pay for all this shit, da-da-da. We waste our time. And you're like, oh, no, I just don't have sex. Me and Jesus or whatever the excuse is. Oh, I just can't. Oh, no, I... Nope. I mean, this is... Thank God this is 10 years old stuff. And not only that, but now it's the shoe is on the other foot. Like, men really aren't falling for this, oh, I'm going to dine or wine or... I mean, that's going away. In part because the internet and technology and men are just kind of like playing video games more. Porn is certainly provided. But there's also a lot of guys, thank God for the internet, thank God for the manosphere, thank God to Tom Likas, thank God for the red pill. They're like, whoa, no, we don't go to fancy dinners no more. That's done. And these girls, no one's asking girls out anymore to fancy dinner. I remember when I was a dumb young kid, 18, 19, 20, I was going to be classy, man. I was going to be cool. I was going to learn ballroom dance. I take women out to the symphony. I take them to jazz clubs. I wear my suits. And there was a few back in the day that were classy enough to appreciate, but the vast majority wasn't. And inevitably, you got beat out of you. And not, you didn't even have to compare notes. You didn't have to say, God, it was either you were having horrendously bad luck or all women were like this, but it didn't matter. In the end, the result and the decision was the same. You gave up. You put the suits away. You go to the jazz club with your buddies or by yourself. I remember I'd love going to this place called the Times Cafe, and I'd just go there by myself to read The Economist, drink a martini, and listen to the live jazz. Occasionally, I'd go and dance, but towards the end of this venue... Towards the end of it, it was too much of a pain in the ass, and it ruined the experience where I wanted to go and have an enjoyable evening. And when it became pulling teeth to get a girl to go out on a dance floor and dance to a nice, you know, jazzy number, or even buy a girl a drink, then it's like, no, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to read my Economist. I'm going to drink my martini. I'm going to listen to jazz because that is the best. It's not even necessarily the best. It's the most sure. It's like bonds versus stocks. Stocks are very volatile. Yeah, you might have a higher rate of return, but you know what? I'm not here to make a 50% killing in a day. I'm not a day trader. I want my 4% regular reinvested dividend every quarter. That's what I want. I just want my 4% dividend, and I'm happy with that. I'm not going to gamble for more because I'm coming here to relax and enjoy. And then in the end, you know, you come to, I'm not dealing with this anymore. And now it's taken a decade, but either through empiricism or just anecdotal experience, men are starting to wake up. When's the last time, ladies, a guy ever asked you to a nice dinner? I remember there were times, young men, this happened in the olden days, young Miss Millennial girls, men in Gen X, and certainly generations before that, they would ask girls to dances, we'd ask girls to, like, go to get dinner. There was always, presumably, that coffee intermediary date. I mean, you met them somehow. But now with the internet, one, to meet people, but then also to attract men with porn and video games, like, I just don't care. They lost their testosterone, they're going on. Not to mention getting shot down after a while. And on top of all that is the manosphere, red pill, all that, all this wisdom where the guy's like saying, no, these girls, they're just, they will stand you up. There's a reason the 50-50-25 rule exists. There's a reason. Read Burns' latest book about going MGTOW. It was shocking. I'm only like two chapters into it. He more or less grew up the same era I did. He's got a couple years on me. But I forgot, you know, what a pain in the ass it was back in middle school and high school, where you may have met a girl at a party, or you met a girl who was at some kind of dance or something. And you try and talk to her later on the next day in school or the Monday, or you come back for, and they wouldn't give you the time of day. You don't have to live through that anymore. It's on the internet now. And now the boys are starting to realize that. And now what guy takes a girl on a first date to an expensive steak and chops joint? I don't think I've done that in about 15, maybe even 20 years. It's been that long. But now, well, the girls are doing it. Well, ladies, no guilt. I mean, the guy, what he did was wrong. It was theft. Absolute theft, what this guy did is what he did, and it was wrong. And you know what? I don't care. It's a microscopic, not even, it's a molecule of steam, not a drop of water in the bucket, a molecule of steam in the bucket compared to what really has been taken. Compared to what has to be returned, shall we say, for the past, gosh, 40 years. Towards the end of the meal, he said he had to go make a phone call. After waiting for him for 15 minutes, it dawned on the woman that he wasn't coming back. Really? That's never happened to guys ever. That happened to me. That happened to me. Not the dine and dash, but I got to take a phone call. And sure enough, probably the girl got a cab or something, or she met her. Here's the other one. This is the famous one. My girlfriend is having a crisis with her boyfriend, and she needs me. This is, of course, cell phone days. But in the olden days, they would have gotten sick. They would have canceled at the last moment. Or they would have never called you up. Never would have called you back. Were you like, hey, I'm about to, guys would be polite. Hey, I know we're on for 8. I'll be swinging by. I should get there at about 7:50, 7:45, just seeing if we're still on for tonight. And you'd never hear back from them. Then you felt like the stalker, like driving to the house. Then you put in a catch-22, a very uncomfortable situation. Well, do I drive to this girl's place? And once you leave, there was no cell phones. You had to go there. And then, like, do you go up to the door? Lights are out. Like, do I have the right address? Do I stay out here? I don't care. I don't give. This is great. This is putting a smile on my face. Men should do this more often. When I went to message him on the app, he had blocked me, and I thought, oh my gosh, is this really happening right now, she said. So she started spreading the news of what happened on social media, posting photos of the man who police have no identified. Who wrote this? Mary Beth Quirk. Hey, Mary Beth, you mean not identified? Authorities say he's also accused of failing to pay for a haircut and coloring job at a Burbank salon, is facing 2 pending cases of petty theft. Well, this guy doesn't sound like a good guy. Doesn't sound like a good guy. The woman says others he's duped for a free meal have come forward after she shared her story online. I heard a lot from people say he did the same thing. It's typically very high-end restaurants, she said. She's not giving up on dating, but for everybody else out there, she just wants others to be on your guard. Update, another woman has come forward identifying the man and claiming he also dined and dashed on her in May, leaving her with a $100 restaurant tab. Dude, yes, keep going. All right, CBS Local. Another woman comes forward to tell of humiliation and dating. Oh, yep, go ahead, CBS. Just play a video without me asking for it. Tell of humiliation of dating Dine and Dasher. Hang on. Why do you guys have shame? Why are you humiliated by this? The guy's a scumbag. Why would you be humiliated? Oh, now you know what it feels like. Oh, you're confused. You think there's something wrong with you now. Should we really tell the women there's nothing wrong with them? He's just a scumbag? Or should we let them spend like decades to figure that out, that there might be something wrong with them? A second woman has come forward to tell the tale of a romantic date gone wrong when the man she met on social media dined, dashed, and stiffed her with the bill. KCAL9. Pow! Andrea Fuji on Thursday talked to the woman who didn't want to be identified. She had no problem identifying her date, Paul Gonzalez. Go, Paul! She said they met on a dating website in May. The plan was a romantic first date at a restaurant in Long Beach. He was very complimentary, very chatty, seemed to have similar interests, she said. The woman said things got weird when he ordered over $100 worth of food for himself. This guy is obnoxious, she thought. First of all, who orders two entrees? But he excused it by saying he was a bodybuilder. She said, what do you care? Honest to God, what if he ordered two entrees? You're not assuming you're going to pay for it, sweetheart. What do you care if he's that hungry? I've ordered two entrees before. She said when she didn't reciprocate his advances, he took off and left her holding the check. There you go. Oh, wait a minute. You mean the street goes both ways? You mean our time is worth something? You might have to kiss us goodnight? The chance of sex might have to be there before we leave? He took off and left her holding the check. He says, I'm going to the bathroom. I'll be right back. And he never did, she said. The woman acknowledges she is very embarrassed, but said she came forward after seeing another woman tell her story on Wednesday evening on the KCLA BAM news at 10 p.m. He had an appetizer. He ordered a steak. The restaurant is all a la carte, said Diane Guillamente. Police said the alleged dine and dasher also did the same thing to a Burbank hair salon on February. All right. Oh, wait, is this the... Did they catch him? Security video allegedly caught Gonzalez working off salon, still wearing his smock. He left his... Look at this guy. Here he is. He's a good-looking dude. Police told Fuji, who was arrested on July 23 in that incident, but it's not clear if he's still behind bars. What date did this happen? Well, this is August, so maybe this is just a suspect. So he was over at the salon, and he was arrested on July 23rd, but he may have gotten out of jail and has done the same thing. The woman he dashed out on in May said she didn't file a police report, but now says she will. So now is my retribution time. Oh yeah, you go get your retribution. Fuji reports that since our story aired Wednesday evening, she also heard from another Burbank hair salon that Gonzalez skipped out on his bill. She said she tried reaching out to Gonzalez via Facebook, but as of Thursday has not heard back. Well, I'm terribly sorry that happened to you, ladies. That's just too bad. I'm sure you have never stood up a guy in your lives, and you are both just saints, and he is not avenging anyone. All right, let's finish off the sponsors here. All right, we already talked about pushing rubber downhill. InDemandCareer.com. Help out our buddy Seth Himes. Help out yourself with Seth Himes. He has basically a niche on helping people get careers in, what was it? Something design. Let me do it right. Let's do it right here. All right. Digital marketing. That's what it was. Yep, digital marketing. Okay. Basically, he's got a tutorial and a plan. If you're looking for a job and you don't want to go back to college and want to make decent money, check out InDemandCareer.com. Seth is the guy that runs it. Let him know that the captain sent you. Go through his tutorial. I think he charges some bucks and all that for that. But it's going to charge you a lot less than what it's going to take to go to get your supply chain management degree, which seems to be the thing nowadays. I don't know why I got all these clients over to Asshole Consulting asking me about supply chain management. I even had one guy's like, so I decided to major in STEM and go to supply chain management. No. Supply chain management is not STEM. It's nowhere close. Please don't suck your own dick like that, all right? Then we have Cindy Morin, cindymorin.net. Cindy spelled with a C. She is the model that posed for Captain's Quarterly, which will be coming out hopefully at the end of the month. Kind of want to take a breather after banging out Reconnaissance Man. She doesn't pay me. Actually, I paid her, obviously, because she provided the modeling services. But she was so professional and got back to me so quickly and is one of the few good-looking women that have her shit together that if you're looking for a good-looking model, go to her. Seriously, she should be, like Chad Elkins is our resident accountant, Cindy Morin should be our resident model. So go ahead, throw a couple bucks her way if you're looking for a model. Welcome to The Divide by SP Daily. He's got that book out. Where'd the other book go? I had it here. The one he wanted me to advertise. Did I lose it? Oh, here it is. Caustic. Caustic by SP Daily. Go to Amazon. You can just search SP Daily. His books are available there, both in paperback and Kindle. Then we have my books, The Black Man's Guide Out of Poverty, paperback and Kindle. Bachelor Pad Economics, also available in audio. So it's a long book. I know you smart boys and girls out there, you don't like sitting down, especially during summer, and reading. It's painful. Thank God that we had Davis Arini put that into audio form. So if you're willing to drop an extra couple bucks and save yourself many hours, you can run, you can lift weights, you can garden, you can do whatever you want while listening to Bachelor Pad Economics. That right there is economic in itself to get the audio book. So go ahead. You can find that on audio as well. Worthless, the Young Person's Indispensable Guide to Choosing the Right Major. College is starting relatively soon. It's not too late to change your major. It's not too late to rethink your plan. And so you could go ahead and buy Worthless. That's much cheaper, much shorter read, but you can get that in audio as well, also read by Davis Rini. Enjoy the Decline. That's for all of you people who think it's hopeless and pointless, maybe perhaps even with both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton as the presidential candidates. I know even writing the book made it, it was very therapeutic not having to, or actually getting my thoughts out there, thinking things through, and then finally coming to the epiphany like, yeah, I don't control it. And my life has been a lot better. I won't say it's been perfect, but it's been a lot better. I don't get worked up about politics anymore. I enjoy life, and I suggest you do that too. Then there's Curse of the High IQ written by me. That's available in paperback and Kindle. And it will soon be available in audio. So we got a couple more chapters of that left to go. We have Behind the Housing Crash. That's my first book. We have the two best of books, the two best of books of my blog. It's Captain Capitalism Top Shelf and Captain Capitalism Reserved. Then we also have my latest book, Reconnaissance Man, which I got to type in here. Hang on. That is kind of a... It's like Worthless, but Worthless assumes you're going to go to college. And I had enough clients with Asshole Consulting and thought it through. Like, if I were to do things all over again, dude, I would not have gone to college right off the bat. I would have taken at least a year off. I would have worked a lot more in high school and worked up the money, knowing now what I, you know, if I knew then. I would have just driven around the country, bummed around, slept at waysides. And basically, that's what Reconnaissance Man is all about. Then instead of going to college, you should explore the country first, not only to find out what's out there where you may want to go to college, but to find out about yourself and what you really want to do in life. And that all starts by finding out where you belong. Okay, if I took the time to read this book and the, I recommend 2 years worth of planning, you know, 2 summers, so 2 years because you're going to really travel during summer, if you're in school, my life would have come out a hell of a lot better. And so that's the point and purpose of that book. So whether you're about to go to college or you're 30-something and like your career's just not cutting it, stop trying to guess careers. Stop trying to try different things. Just get a job that pays the bill. And in the meantime, go travel around the country and figure shit out and where you belong. That's the key thing. Because you're going to be, if you're in a town that you love and you're happy, it makes tolerating a job that much easier. Then we have Day by Day Cartoon by Chris Muir. Go ahead and get your daily humor by going to Day by Day Cartoon. We have Silvio Canto's book, Cubanos in Wisconsin. David Cerini's book, As I Walk These Broken Roads. Marty Zandrati's book, Nixon's Guide to the Multiverse. And then he's got his new D.B. Cooper book coming out. I got an email from him. He's like, everybody, thank you very much for volunteering to edit my book. But the publishing date is coming due, and I need you to actually edit my book. And I got to interview good old Glendon Cameron about hustle, because apparently all these Republican conservative types, of which Marty's group is, they just... Nobody has hustle anymore, man. Nobody. And you just, you almost have to do everything yourself. You really do. And so I'm kind of looking forward to that D.B. Cooper book coming out. I already edited it and sent it in because he, like me, has hustle. I sent him a champer. He sent it back within a day. Bada boom, bada bing. Making money. There we go. If we could all help each other like that, that'd be great. But no, procrastination and excuse and laziness and sloth. That's all that really matters. All right, anyway, listen, vote up the podcast, share the podcast, comment on the podcast, vote it up over at iTunes. Men, check your nuts. Ladies, check the girls. Make sure you ain't got testicular or breast cancer. Help each other out by going ahead and fidgeting with each respective other's units. And if the girlfriend won't fidget with your nuts, you're going to have to. Maybe actually that's what they could do. When the girls are giving the blowjobs at the blowjob cafe, they could also check for testicular cancer. That would be a selling point, I'm just saying. Testicular cancer check, an extra 5 pounds. That would be, you know, train the prostitutes on how to identify. I'm not even half joking. I think that would be a very good service. Like, hey, yeah, you better. Big sign right there. Testicular cancer, curable, kills X number of people. Have your nuts checked here by professional prostitutes and nut checkers. And then, what else? Go ahead, follow me on the blog at CaptainCapitalism.blogspot.com. Follow me on Twitter. Just search Aaron Clary. Same thing with the YouTube channel. You can follow me there. Tell family, tell friends, tell enemies, tell loved ones, tell people you're generally indifferent about. And that is it. We'll catch you kids later. Toodles.